So, can you remember when you found out?
I don't think it wasn't when we received the like blanket email from uni saying campus is closed, all classes are moving online. I had already made the decision to stop attending class because of the email I received from work, and then I realized it was kind of more serious than not. But yeah, there was, as you know, little communication at the beginning. And
Yes.
obviously with a practical course like fine art, it's a lot harder to remedy teaching online than just a tute and a lecture.
Yeah.
So yeah, when I got that email, I had already decided that I wasn't attending campus while this was going on. But we lost a whole week of classes
Yeah.
because there was that sort of, you know, working it out period.
Yeah. So I remember when I remember two things really. In week two, so this would have been in March, right? Week two is in March, early March, being told to read something out to students at the beginning of class that was essentially saying, if you feel sick, don't come to class, be careful around campus, make sure you're always washing your hands, and staying safe. Within a week, week three was cancelled. Some of the content was still there, but I didn't get a chance to teach it. And by week four, we were sort of scrambling to figure out how to teach online.
You're listening to the Isolation Podcast. I'm Elle.
And I'm Michael.
And today we're getting schooled.
This episode is all about, I guess, the changes that we've seen in schooling or in our schooling, in our modes of education.
Yes, but I mean, I think the larger thing is learning in general. It's not just formal education.
Schooling ourselves in a in an informal way. And in a formal way.
Upskilling.
I guess, and I guess that is something that we've done a bit of during this old COVID-19 time.
So we're so used to learning online in less formal ways. Why do you think that it has been such an adjustment to, you know, formal education online?
I was having a chat with a colleague of mine, someone who's kind of not my direct boss, but higher up than her, talking about next semester and talking about reflections on this semester. And I was saying that I've noticed the amount of students that have been coming to class has been significantly lower. And she offered the reflection that, well, I think what we're noticing is that when students purposely sign up to a class that they know is online, they're doing it because they know it's online, because that affords them this level of flexibility. They're able to then commit if there are, Zoom-based classes or Collaborate classes or whatever tool the university uses, they're able to commit, they know. Whereas now we've flung it on them, and the cohort, especially for the students that I've been teaching, don't really want to do online classes because a lot of them don't have the resources to be able to do so. I mean, I think too, you're right. Like, we are so used to learning online in informal ways, to reading up about like weird things, or to using YouTube tutorials to make that excellent choc chip cookie, for example. A bit of a throwback to episode one. But I think when it's formalized and when it's flung on us, when there is still a schedule associated with it, I think that's what has thrown people. from my perspective.
Because it's not what we signed up for.
Yeah, yeah, literally, yeah. It is not what we signed up for. It's not what anybody signed up for. It's not what tutors signed up for either. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, we speak about that more informal learning, and I guess we have done a lot of that too, and perhaps more so in this time.
Mm.
But, you know, I was mentioning before watching YouTube tutorials on cooking those cookies and the scones.
Yes. Well, you've been teaching yourself how to use that productivity app.
Oh, yes. Notion.
Yes.
Sponsor us, Notion.
Oh, my God. We've got two sponsors. Stop asking for sponsorships.
That would just be the running theme of this whole pod. It's just where Michael asks for sponsorships every episode.
There's I hope not.
Stuff what they actually talk about, just wait for the sponsorship mention. Yeah. No, that won't happen. But Notion, if you're interested. Yeah, so I've been teaching myself how to use that and watching some YouTube tutorials. I mean, that's how I found out about it too, is watching somebody who I watch on YouTube talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh,
you've also been watching the excellent James Hoffman, learning how to make the best cup of coffee with our Bialetti mocha pot.
Yeah, dear listener, maybe we should do an Instagram story or something on how I make, how I use our mocha pot to make the
perfect coffee,
smoothest,
a
bit stronger, but a bit kind of thicker
in
texture, tasting stovetop coffee. Mm. It's changed. It has changed my life. I mean, I start off every day with a coffee. I can't not. And it's mainly because my mum and my dad had Bialetti stovetop mocha pots.
Well, see, I come from a tea family.
Yes, not we are a coffee family. A deeply entrenched coffee family.
You've ingrained the coffee mentality into me, though.
It could.
Well, I mean, coffee at home. I never used to have coffee at home.
Yeah. Yeah. It couldn't be any other way, though. I wouldn't live in a house where we didn't start the day off with filling up the casket with just the right amount of coffee, making sure we now boil the water first so it doesn't cook the coffee as much.
Yeah.
And then turning it off early as well. Those are general steps. Maybe we should do an Insta stories on the best way to make a mocha pot coffee. Mm. Dear listener, if you're interested, let us know. On Instagram, at The Isolation Podcast.
What else have you been teaching yourself?
Well, I guess I've been teaching myself how to do this. Mm. How to make podcasts in a way that I haven't done before.
Yes.
So, like, you know, I used to host a music podcast with a friend from Sydney, Jack R. Riley, where we talk about new Australian music.
Mm-hmm.
But that was literally us recording voice memos and me compiling it. So I was training myself in how to use GarageBand and how to edit something together. But now, literally, we are recording it on GarageBand. I can see that my mic picks me up, or visually picks me up, a lot better than yours. But yet yours is the better mic. Dear listener, you probably have noticed that too. But learning about that. I think, learning how to podcast properly and figuring out it more interesting ways in which I can construct episodes.
Yeah.
And whether that comes out, whether it actually eventuates, is another thing altogether. But you've been teaching yourself a new skill, or a skill that you perhaps learned when you were a kid and then stopped.
Oh, that I wouldn't call it learning. when I was a kid.
Reacquainting yourself with it.
Yes. So I've been teaching myself to knit. I'm trying to knit a jumper from a beginner pattern. So it's relatively simple. It's just one type of stitch. And I do think my mum tried to teach me how to knit when I was maybe about 8 or 9, but I don't know if I just couldn't get it or I just was bored. You know that I sometimes have a tendency, if I'm not good at something straight away, to just not do it. hence the pizza dough fiasco of February.
The old pizza dough fiasco.
Yes. But I am thoroughly enjoying my knitting.
Yeah.
At the moment. Yeah, my new hobby is knitting and watching terrible 2000s reality TV whilst doing so. Watching hugely problematic episodes of America's Next Top Model.
Yes. Maybe that's another episode of The Isolation Pod. Just
problematic
you.
Reality TV.
Do you think any of the stuff that we're picking up at the moment will stay with us and will implement into our day-to-day on a more ongoing basis once we slowly start to venture out into the big wide world again?
I do think so, because I don't think it's going to just snap back to exactly how it was. There's going to be huge change with, say, dining out, where, you know, some restaurants and cafes are opening from next week, but a lot of them are taking bookings only, or there will only be 20 people allowed to dine there rather than, you know, over 100.
Yeah.
I think there will be there will still be a change for a while, I think. And I do think the message is to continue staying at home where possible. Yeah. So I think these new skills or even habits that we're learning will continue, especially when, I guess, there's a bit more time being spent on the couch watching TV of an evening. That time, you know, for me with the knitting, I'm doing that whilst watching TV some of the time, because, say, there's more of that. So it diversifies it a little bit, if that makes sense.
But do you think, say, next year, when things are more like what they used to be, I mean, many people are now suggesting that things will never be like what they used to be. In many ways, because they can't, because we've realized how broken a lot of the systems are.
Yeah.
But do you think that we'll stop, say, baking sourdough bread? Not that it's something that we've done directly, but stop doing more baking at home, because we can then just go back to the shops and get nice bread or get nice pasta.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think so, because if you think about the fact that, what does it take, 3 weeks to learn a new habit? If those skills become habits, then I think they will stay with us a bit longer.
Yeah. But I think that's also because they have to become habits right now, because there's no other... In a lot of the cases, there's no other option. But when other options open up, I do wonder, unless the way in which work... changes, the way in which, dare I say, the way in which society on a whole is structured and operates for everybody, I think people are just going to go back to the old ways of doing things. And not that there's necessarily anything wrong with a lot of that stuff. I mean, we've noticed that a lot of that stuff was wrong and led to some of the ramifications that we're seeing now. But I don't know. I mean, I hope that I continue to use YouTube in a more effective way in terms of learning about things.
Yeah.
And, you know, continue to evolve my practice in terms of how I teach online. But I do think that those people who come from a bit more privilege, perhaps, I'm just going to go back to the old ways.
I mean, I don't know whether I don't agree with that or I just don't want to agree with that. Because I know another thing we've discussed that may not change or may not have changed for the better is there was such a move to be more environmentally conscious and using keep cups. We've had to stop using keep cups when getting a coffee at a cafe. And I wonder if there will be a bit of a backtrack with a lot of that stuff. You know, will we have to relearn to be more conscious of our footprint and what we're using, because there's been such an emphasis on disposable gloves and masks and cups and things, so that we're not being open to, you know, COVID-19 or, you know, getting sick. So I wonder if we are going to have to, you know, teach ourselves to do that again, because this new normal, so to speak, has been so ingrained.
Well, I think that's such a good insight, because one of the things that I know has been spoken about a bit is, as we're staying more inside and businesses aren't operating as much, like, the sky is bluer. You know, there are all those reports, especially in Europe, where animals are...
You know, yeah, dolphins in dolphins the canals in the of canal Venice.
Where obviously that's not a normal...
No, I've been there. I did not see any dolphins.
Yeah. But I... So we're talking about all that quite romantic way in which nature has changed and nature's kind of getting back at us in a way.
Yeah.
But also we're still doing significant damage.
Absolutely. So we're both coming at this learning caper from different sides. I'm a student and you're a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know whether we have different views on how things have transpired, or, you know, I think we have some sort of similar attitudes to what's gone on. But obviously we're coming at it from different directions.
Yeah, I'm getting a a reasonably broad appreciation of as to how difficult this has been for young people, typically. You know, all of my students are typically 18, 19, 20, 21. And as a tutor, being able to see faces in class face to face is the thing that I love. That's like the most, that very day-to-day kind of aspect of tutoring, of actually being in the room with all of these young people, all of these students, I should say, who are there to learn and to talk about ideas and issues and stuff like that. That is one of the most directly rewarding experiences I've had professionally.
Well, especially when you're teaching youth studies for students who are studying to be youth workers, which is, you know, a hands-on, face-to-face role.
Yeah.
That's a big jump to then do that screen-to-screen rather than face-to-face.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that, I've noticed too is that is around access issues. So when you say going from face-to-face to screen, for the students that do youth work and youth studies, they typically have greater problems accessing good internet services. You know, there might only be one computer in the house, those sorts of things. So for some students to come into class now is not a possibility. And even then, we've made a decision as a course to cut off video, because that can often get in the way of internet speed. So they can, sometimes they can see me, but often I'll be sharing a screen anyway.
I think that's happened in most classes.
Yeah. And, but we've turned off their cameras, so they can't even turn them on themselves. And while I understand that that's an important thing in terms of having them actually be able to participate, having the bandwidth to be able to participate, it does take away that very direct engagement that I kind of, in a classroom setting, build on. And that's sort of fuels how I teach, that direct engagement, helping, working alongside students.
So many of my teachers have said that it's just kind of like talking out into the void, because we all have our cameras off. They're just talking to a screen. And I noticed that some of them talk looking up, just like off, because, you know, they're not looking at a class. You can't gauge if people are understanding what you're saying, or are enthusiastic or daydreaming, or, you know, there's no way to gauge that unless you can view people's faces.
Yeah, it's quite weird because I've sort of felt as though I'm doing a radio show.
Right in your element.
Yeah, right in my element. But
ABC, hire him.
Yes, please. Please do. No, but I felt as though because you can't hear and you can't see the students' faces, I find myself kind of dipping into a performance voice more than... You think that's funny, but...
Yeah, because you're a dork.
Welcome, students. No, I don't, I'm not like that.
You're listening to Class 14 of Youth Studies 101.
That it's, yeah, it's changed, and I feel has taken away the one of the main things that fueled my practice as a in-class, physical, face-to-face classroom tutor. And yeah, and your point earlier about, well, they're learning about a practice that is done face-to-face most of the time.
Mm.
You know, most of the students that do the course that I teach are training to become youth workers.
Yeah.
That's a face-to-face thing. For them, having to shift to online, where some of those students might not be as comfortable online or just might not have the technology, the readily accessible technology to be able to do that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's been such a shift, and one that I took for granted that I don't think I fully appreciated until I saw the amount of students come into class, and it's like a third of the amount of students that should be there.
Yeah.
Even a quarter some weeks.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's a huge jump to go from a practical course that's studio-based, where normally it would be working in a communal space using machinery and equipment that I don't think anyone really has access to home, to then doing that via a computer screen and everyone setting up their own kitchen studios because we don't have access to a big studio. It's been a very strange leap, especially my first year back at uni after almost 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, over 10 years since I started uni. Yeah. The first time round.
Yeah.
It is a bit weird, and it did feel a little bit like the world does not want me to ever finish a fine art degree.
So last year, we both were working, and then mid-year, round about mid-year, we found ourselves without work.
Mm.
I picked up some contract work at a different university, which was, you know, okay. It was a very steep learning experience, and you took some time out to kind of get on top of things, I guess. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I did get on top of a lot of things, I guess. I mean, in the middle of the year, it kind of felt like everything over the last few years had kind of built up and overwhelmed me, I guess. I was dealing with a lot of anxiety that was just It was just over. I was just overcome with it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you were.
And yeah, I left my job and just took some time out to get on top of things and work through it, which was hard. But and I mean, I'm not cured. I don't feel like it's a weird sort of thing, but there was a lot of reassessing and working out what I actually wanted to be doing. And I think I had kind of toyed with the idea of going back to uni a little bit. Like, we had sort of talked about it and I thought, oh, maybe I would do it after we had kids, or, you know, after we had, I don't know, done other things that we need to do. That we want to do, though. Yeah. Like, not just, you know, out of a sense of obligation. Not just
ticking things off a list, yeah.
No. And then, yeah, within a few months, I was kind of like, yes, maybe I will go back to uni. And, you know, this is a chance to reset everything. Like, I wasn't working. I didn't have a job that I had to be mindful of if I was studying again. And, you know, I think it was more feasible to go back to study full time. So it kind of happened relatively quickly. It felt like that I made that choice, but I think I had been thinking about it for a while in small amounts, so it was easier to make a decision.
Yeah, from my memory, it felt as though it was a thought that would come and dominate for a short period of time and then would sort of leave your brain a little bit and then would come back. And perhaps those thoughts came to you at times where you were feeling a little bit tired or a little bit exhausted with, you know, what was happening where you were working and just what was happening with your own sense of self.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, yeah, it kind of, I mean, I guess I had a more idealistic view of how this first semester might have gone than how it eventuated.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I would be spending a lot more time on campus and, I mean, as someone going back to uni after almost a decade of not being at uni, and I think it is a little easier because I did study fine art before and I am going back to study it again.
Stepping back into a space.
Yeah. And I think it kind of sounds weird and a bit awful, but when they said that campus would be closed and things would move online, I kind of felt a little bit of relief because I thought, oh, this is kind of an easier way to get back into it because I wouldn't have to deal with classes and silly things that I would worry about, like, oh my God, will I be able to get a seat? Or what if I'm late and I have to walk into the class? Like, things that I had worried about at uni when I was, you know, 22, not 30. Was I even 22 when I was at uni last? I think I might have been. I can't remember.
To be 22 again.
Oh God.
To not be 22 again.
22 when I never wore the same outfit to uni twice. Yeah, that's true.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I made sure of it. That was a goal in my head at that age. But I did do that this semester too because I only went to like 6 classes.
Yeah, exactly.
So I did. I'm still
being consistent.
Yes, I am. Very. But yeah, so there was a bit of relief with that aspect of it. I mean, it hasn't been easy.
All right. So that's it, right? Like, we've schooled each other.
Continually.
Whilst talking about school and learning and the different ways in which we've been sort of forced to learn and adapt. Over the past month or two.
Chosen as well.
Yes. Not forced against our will.
Oh, no.
Although the shift to online learning for university is obviously not necessarily... Yeah. We didn't necessarily bank on that happening.
No.
But yeah. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to the Isolation podcast this week.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, go share the show. If you have been liking what we've been doing and you think your best mate...
Or your mum. Mums love
us. Yeah, yeah, mums do love us. That is true. At least I can think of two mums, really. Only two mums. But mums do love us. But yeah, if you think somebody else could do with hearing two people talk through some of the big sorts of things that people are experiencing at this time, send us their way. Yeah, definitely share the show around. Give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts if you can, or whatever other pod player you use. Make sure you subscribe or follow.
And you can head over to Instagram and follow us at The Isolation Podcast to see what else we've been up to in isolation.
Yeah. All right. See ya.
Bye.
Coffee?
I would love one.